Warning light. That's our title today. Ezekiel 33:7-20 is our text. Today is the third Sunday in Lent, and as we have said, Lent is a time of reflection, thinking about and reflecting on the theme of repentance, thinking about Jesus' suffering for us, thinking about his humiliation, thinking about our own sin and our need for him. And today we think about that theme of repentance, and we also think about the idea of God's patience and how he is patient and continues to seek after us. Our text comes from Ezekiel, and Ezekiel, just as a review, Ezekiel lived about 600 years before Jesus. The people had not been following, kept turning away from God. And then he kept warning them, turn back to me, follow me, or you will be conquered and you will be taken into exile, into another country. And sure enough, that's what happened. And Ezekiel was part of those that were first taken into exile. And so his ministry was in Babylon as the people were in exile. In chapter 3 of the book, we hear about Ezekiel's call to serve God, to be a prophet. And in chapter 3, he's given a role, and his role is described as a watchman, to give warning to the people. And the idea is that the watchman is on the lookout for danger. And in this particular case, it's really looking out for the punishment that is coming from God if people are not obeying. To be on the lookout for that and to announce the people, announce to the people, this punishment is coming from God. Turn, repent. And so he says to Ezekiel, if I tell you some word to share with them and you keep silent, their blood is on your heads, on your head, in your hands. On your hands. That's the way I want to say that. Blood is on your hands. They will die for their sin. That's what justice demands, but their blood is on your hands. If you speak and the people don't listen, you have done your duty. You are innocent, and they will still die for their sins if they haven't listened, but you are innocent because you have done your job as a watchman. So the warning then comes that Jerusalem will be destroyed if you don't repent. So people had been carried into exile, but at this time, Jerusalem had not yet been destroyed. It was later. But he said, if the people don't turn from their idolatry, it will be destroyed. Now we get to chapter 33. This is where our text comes today. The call is renewed for Ezekiel. The description of Ezekiel as a watchman is renewed again, and to give warning. And just before this, or this comes just before, there is the word arrives to Ezekiel and the others that Jerusalem has been destroyed. Now it's been destroyed. And there's still a job for Ezekiel to do. Even though that punishment came, there's still a job for him. The people are heartbroken, but they still need the word to come to them, to repent, to turn back to God. And we find that God gives hope in these parts of Ezekiel. He gives hope along with repentance. And so today's text sets that up. It prepares to hear about the hope that God gives when people repent. Our text this morning is from Ezekiel 33, verses 7 to 20. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Ezekiel 33, 7 to 20, reading in Jesus' name. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? Therefore, son of man, say to your people, if someone who is righteous disobeys, that person's former righteousness will count for nothing. And if someone who is wicked repents, that person's former wickedness will not bring condemnation. The righteous person who sins will not be allowed to live, even though they were formerly righteous. If I tell a righteous person that they will surely live, but then they trust in their righteousness and do evil, none of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. They will die for the evil they have done. And if I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, but they then turn away from their sin and do what is just and right, if they give back what they took in pledge for a loan, return what they have stolen, follow the decrees that give life, and do no evil, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the sins that person has committed will be remembered against them. They have done what is just and right. They will surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, but it is their way that is not just and right. They will live by doing so. Yet you Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just, but I will judge each of you according to your own ways. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. And as we consider Ezekiel's role as a watchman and the word that he brought to the people of Israel, we ask that we would hear what you have in this for us today, as we know that you are speaking to us as well. Guide us as we consider this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite the kids to come forward at this time. And Ford is coming up here, and he's playing the part of Jesus again, like he did a couple weeks ago. And we're going to start out by me asking him a question. I'm going to ask him a question, and he's going to play the part of Jesus in responding to that. So, Jesus, did you hear about the Galileans that were offering sacrifices, and then Pilate killed them and mixed their blood with their sacrifices?
Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Consider this story.
Ah, what a fine vineyard I have here. I love coming out here to look at the plants and the trees. And this fig tree here, it's been planted for years. And I need to see if there's fruit on it. There's no fruit. It's just pine cones. For 3 years now, I've been waiting for there to be fruit on this fig tree. But it hasn't given any. Cut it down. It's using up the soil.
Sir, leave it for this year still, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit, great. If not, we'll cut it down.
All right. Thanks to those guys for helping me out here this morning. What happened in that story there? What was happening there? Did you guys notice? What kind of tree did they have?
A fake tree.
Yeah, fake tree. It was a pine tree. We didn't have a fig tree around here to put up here, but so we only found pine cones, no figs on it. Yeah, that might have been hard too. We couldn't move the pot. That was the problem. But what happened? Did the tree have fruit on it?
No.
No fruit on it. So what did the owner say should happen to it?
Cut it down.
But what did the other one who takes care of the trees, what did he say about it?
Don't.
What was he going to do?
Do it for one more year.
Yeah, give it a little bit more time. He was going to take care of it, fertilize it, see if he could get any fruit to grow on it. Do we know what happened to the tree?
No.
No. What do you think? Did the tree make fruit or not?
Not yet.
What do you think? Well, we didn't have an ending to the story. Jesus left the story with no ending, and we're going to find out why that is. Maybe it's something to think about for each one of us. So I want you to be thinking about that. And also we had the theme of a warning, right? Of a watchman, I talked about that. So we have kind of like a watchman here in somebody guarding, but watching out for danger. So that's what we're going to be thinking about, a watchman, a warning. And how does this story end? We're going to think about how the story ends. So can I give you some of these to hand out? Here, I'll give you these ones too. All right, come over this way and hand some out there. All right, thanks for coming up. You guys can go back to your seats now. All right. Make sure you get one over there, Samuel. All right. Well, warning light. We're thinking about a warning light. What's the purpose of a warning light? I'm thinking of like in your car when you're driving, you're driving your car and you see a warning light. What is that warning light for? There might be other places that we find warning lights as well. But I'm thinking of the picture of my car. The purpose of a warning light is that you respond in some way, right? There's danger, there's a problem. We want a response from it, right? I actually have two warning lights on in my car right now. One of them has to do with needing an oil change. All right, so I know that one. The second one has to do with a thermostat that is bad, and we can reset that one. You know, it's okay, the thermostat with the coolant, it just cools a little bit too early, and so we end up with not as much heat as we would normally have. So at least I'm pretty sure that's what the two warning lights are about. You might be able to tell from that statement that I'm kind of ignoring them a little bit because I think I know what they're about. Maybe that's not a good idea. We'll find out. I do need to get it in for an oil change, though. So you could call me and remind me of that if you want to. But hopefully I will stop ignoring those warning lights. But the warning lights, think about that. The purpose of a warning light, if it is something serious and we don't pay attention to it, what happens? Well, think about the car, right? It could be a problem with the engine. And if we don't pay attention to it, the engine, it could have been repaired, but now all of a sudden it breaks in some way that now is not able to be repaired. So we want to take care of those things that the warning is about before we get to that point. And we hear Ezekiel's call as a watchman, and we can think of this as a warning light. It's something that's coming on to demonstrate there's a problem. And we have then a summary of the role for Ezekiel, and his role is to hear God's word and to speak that to the people. And he says here then, "When I say to the wicked, 'You wicked person, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood." That's the instruction God gives to Ezekiel. Now, something we notice about this, we might highlight that and think, oh man, that's a pretty serious instruction, that the blood is on the hands of the messenger. He's accountable for that. But think about this as well. Notice this, that even the announcement that judgment is coming is not simply a declaration of what God is going to do, but it is a warning. It is a warning. And we can think about this as good news. There's always a warning. God gives a warning to us before bringing destruction and judgment. If then the person entrusted with giving that warning doesn't do it, the watchman is then accountable for that. He hasn't given the warning. But then he says this, "But if you warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved." If the warning is given, the watchman is vindicated. Now, we could focus on this role of a watchman, and we could maybe see ourselves and the fact that we have this warning. We've been given this word from God, and we need to warn people about that. We could focus on that, and maybe there's some benefit in that. At the same time, I'm not sure exactly how this translates to us specifically. We're told that specifically for Ezekiel, he is called to speak, and he's given this. We are also called to speak and to share and to give warning to people. What does it mean, accountable for blood, though? Accountable for the blood of those who are lost if we don't give warning. Does that translate exactly like that? What does that mean exactly? Well, that would take a lot of study to know, and there is a call to share the word. But I'd rather focus this morning on what this says about God. What does this word here say to us about God? Well, first of all, it tells us that God is serious about giving a warning to people. He's not just half-heartedly sending a message here and there, sending an email that might go to your spam folder with this warning of judgment. He's not doing that. He's intent and serious and focused on getting out the warning of judgment. He wants people to turn away from their sin. He wants people to repent. If we think about this for ourselves individually, let's put ourselves not in the place of the watchman as somebody to declare the need, the news, the need for repentance. Let's put ourselves in the position of the person who needs to hear that. For us and for you, whatever is going on in your life, God wants you to hear the good news. He wants you to hear the need for repentance, and then along with that is forgiveness of sins. Reflect on that. I think that's valuable for us to remember, that whatever is going on in our lives, God is intent for us to hear that message. So what is the message that Ezekiel is bringing to the people in his day? The people are weighed down, they say. They're hearing the preaching. They're hearing Ezekiel talk. They don't really like it, even though these are people that already have been taken away from Jerusalem, from the promised land. They don't want to hear that they need this change in them, that they are wrong, even though they're already feeling the punishment for it. Our offenses and sins weigh us down. How then can we live? The good news from God then is that, yes, there's destruction that has been warned and destruction that will come, but God doesn't want it. He doesn't enjoy doing that. He doesn't enjoy destroying people. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Sometimes the Christian church is seen as judgmental. And often that's true. Sometimes the church can come across as condemning people. And sometimes, you know, the church, whether true or not, can come across as almost taking joy in the destruction of those who are wicked, who are evil. Now, we can see from God's word that He doesn't take joy in the destruction of the wicked. When it comes to being judgmental, we could see both good and bad in that sense of being judgmental. The good side of that is that there is judgment. God says that. It's clear in our text today. It's clear in what Jesus says, in what we heard also, as they acted that out here. There's judgment. We shouldn't cover that up. We don't want to cover up the fact that there is judgment. We want to give warning. At the same time, we want to recognize the purpose of the warning. It's not to take pleasure in judgment. And so when that starts to be the case, that's the bad side of being judgmental, in a sense. God doesn't take pleasure. And we see that as God acted out His purposes in our world. The most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, we could look right there. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He sent His Son that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. We see God's intent purposes on having people repent and turn to Him. It's right there, all through how He is interacting with this world. Through Ezekiel, He says it in this way, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? He's pleading with them. He's pleading with us. He's pleading with the people around us. Why would you die? All you need to do is turn to Me. Jesus, in His preaching there, as we heard that, spoken here earlier, referred to two disasters. One was brought up to Him by a question, the other one He brought up Himself. In both of those, people have died. One at the hands of pagan officials, and so somebody might link that to the cause of their death. The other was simply an accident. And we might think of other things in our lives that happen, natural disasters where people die in these. And it's easy to think, as things like that happen, I think we have a tendency to think bad things should happen to bad people and good things should happen to good people. And even though we don't see that in the world, there's kind of this sense in us that says that's what should happen. And so sometimes we can see things like that and think, well, if people are suffering like that, they must deserve it, right? Even though we don't really like to think that in ourselves. But sometimes that can be a problem even. When we suffer things, we can think, do I deserve this? Have I done something to deserve this? But Jesus says, no, we really shouldn't think that way. But he says, take warning from these things. Take warning from the things that we see in this world, from the destruction that we see in this world. Take warning from these things and realize that there is something worse than death that could happen to us, and that is eternal judgment. We are all at risk. And so he says, repent, or you also will perish. And we hear in Jesus' words as well, why will you die? Just as we heard through Ezekiel, why will you die? It's not needed. And Jesus came into this world to take our place, and to rise again to give new life, but also, as he did that, to say it, to say there is not a need to die. You can have eternal life. Now, we can hear this as a group, as the Israelites were no doubt hearing it, as a nation, they were hearing that. But we can also take this as individuals, and maybe for us in our day, that's where we would more appropriately take this, as individuals. And so we had in our text here a summary, or I'm going to summarize what we had here, basically in several different directions to reinforce the point. The word through Ezekiel was, a righteous person or somebody who does good, who disobeys, will be condemned for that if they turn and do evil. A wicked person who then later repents and obeys will live. Now, in the New Testament, we find that the way that that happens, and I think we found this even in the Old Testament, the way that that happens is through faith and not simply by being good enough, by turning and being good enough. It's a matter of repenting and turning and trusting in Christ. But then we have this. Your people say, the way of the Lord is not just. That's what they're saying in response back to Ezekiel, or back to God through him. Why? Why would they say that? Well, maybe it's because we don't see full justice in this world, in this life. But God's way is just, he says. It's their way that is not just. If someone outwardly good, or maybe someone who even has been trusting in what Christ has done, turns and is not trusting in what Christ has done, or if they're trusting in themselves, in their own goodness, then judgment is awaiting that person. But for someone who is not trusting, who is acting in wicked ways, even in terribly wicked ways, who in repentance trusts in Christ, that person will live. Now, you might be concerned as you think about this. Maybe you think, and in reality you say, and with gladness, I'm trusting in Christ. And what a good thing that is, as we each are doing that. But you might be thinking now about somebody that you know who is not following Christ. Maybe somebody that comes to mind that even has been in the past, and you can see in their life that they are turning away from that. Where is that line? You know, if somebody has been a believer and is turning away, where's that line where somebody becomes not saved? You know, where they're not trusting? Well, you know, we could debate that for a long time, but I don't know that that's very helpful. Maybe more helpful than debating where is that place is what God says about it, about that person, and what hope there is for them. The person who is turning away from God has the same possibility of hope for that person who has never trusted in God. The warning is being spoken to them, to each person. Repentance is possible. The offer doesn't end until death or Christ returns. I will judge each of you according to your ways, is the way that our text finished today. The parable of the fig tree that Jesus told and that was acted out for this morning, I think is helpful in this. The unfruitful tree, we see the unfruitful tree as someone who is not believing, who is not demonstrating repentance. There's no fruit of repentance demonstrated in that person's life. And the word of the owner comes to the gardener, cut it down. Cut down that tree. Judgment is coming. Cut down that tree. Like the warning about sin. Repent of your ways. The response of the caretaker is, give it one more chance. Give it one more chance. And see if any fruit is found on it. And this is like the work of Christ in His Word. He is working through His Word. And as the gardener said he would fertilize that tree, he would work with that tree and do what he could to make that tree produce fruit. So Christ is working through His Word. And if people hear the warning that comes in His Word, and if they turn and repent, forgiveness awaits. Now, this story, as we heard it from Jesus, is left with no ending. He doesn't say, well, the next year the owner came back and there was no fruit and it got cut down. He doesn't say the next year the owner came back and there was fruit on it and he was happy and let it live. He doesn't say what happens to it. It's left without an ending. It's left open-ended because it's a story for each one of us. Ezekiel's message is very similar to that. I will judge each one, as we found at the end of our text today. But there's still an open-endedness to this because the message has been given that there's a possibility to repent and turn back. The conclusion is not known until the very end. If we or people that we know are the tree with no fruit, the end is not yet. The end is not known. We don't know the conclusion of that story yet. There still is hope. The end of the story is at the point of death or when Christ returns. That's when judgment will happen for the individual. But the story is left open. We think about the warning light. Ezekiel is given the task of a watchman to hear when the warning is given, when God is coming to bring disaster and judgment. He's given the role of a watchman to announce to people. For us, we have this idea of the warning light. Don't ignore the warning light. Listen to that warning. Turn and repent. God won't give up on us. He keeps warning us until the end, but He wants us then to turn. And when we've heard that, when we've heard it, when we've trusted, when we've repented and turned, share that with others. Don't be silent. We are given a great word of hope. It begins with saying that judgment is coming, but there's hope in that. Are we like Ezekiel in some way accountable for the blood of people if we fail to warn them? I don't know. But you know what? Don't worry about it. Just share. Tell others. Don't worry about how much is enough or too much or not enough. Just share. The good news that you have, share it with other people. And for ourselves, when we find ourselves being convicted of sin and rebellion in our lives, repent. And we can turn and be forgiven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for the warnings that you give. Thank you that the warnings are repeated more than we even deserve, so that we would hear, that we would repent, that we would turn and receive the forgiveness that you offer in Jesus. I ask that you would, first of all, help us in each area of our lives to hear the warnings, to repent of our sin, and continue to trust in the forgiveness that Jesus offers. As we interact with others that we know around us who need to hear this message, whether they've heard it before and are ignoring it, or whether they've never heard it before, help us and give us the words to speak in a way that would help them to hear the warning and the hope of what Jesus has done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.